A couple weeks ago, we started the new year off kind of with a focus on New Year's resolutions and, you know, how do those play into our life? And are there some things that we can do spiritually to start the new year off right? And so we kind of asked you to look into what we call, actually what is commonly called spiritual disciplines. And Andrew was able to lead you guys last week taught on Bible study, the importance of Bible study, getting into the Word of God. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about prayer. And today, I'm going to kind of just going into the whole issue. Why are we here? What are we about? And why are spiritual disciplines even important in our life? And I know a couple of you came maybe expecting to hear a talk on fasting. And I decided that we're going to kind of put the fasting talk off a couple weeks. And as we get ready for another time of year that many of you may have heard of called Lent, leading up to Easter. And how many of you ever, like, went through Lent with some kind of fasting? Yeah, a good number of you. We're going to talk about what fasting is from the Bible, and how do we do it? What is it about? Is it for everyone? And all of that. But I want to do it kind of right before Lent, so it kind of prepares each of us to go into Lent kind of with a good understanding of what fasting is. This past week, I had an amazing trip down to Raleigh. I go down to Raleigh about once a month, and I meet with about 8 other pastors, church planters, who are similar places as I am right now. Some are just getting started. Some have been in 3 to 5 years, and we just have a time of talking and fellowshipping and encouraging one another and really helping each other learn how to get to the next steps. If you're new with us, you've heard today that we're about ready to celebrate our one-year anniversary, and we're excited about that. But the question that's kind of that I need to keep in front of all of us is why are we here? Why another church? Why don't we just stay in the buildings that already exist and just keep going? And so I'm going to hope to answer that for all of us today to help us to get back to realizing our main number one purpose in life is to follow Jesus. Hope Hill Church exists to help you follow Jesus. We say it in these phrases. Hope Hill Church exists to glorify God, to transform lives, and impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in everything that we do, we want to bring glory to God. Whether we eat or drink, no matter what we do inside these walls or outside in our community, we want to bring glory to God. And the second part is transforming lives. You know, the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we want to be a place that is helping you become all God has created you to be. And so some of you have been here the year we've been together. We moved into this school a little over a year ago with about 80 of you. And God has blessed, and a number of you have gotten close to one another. Some really great relationships have taken place. And more importantly, some of you have discovered a new relationship with God. And my question to you to start us off this morning is, when you look back a year from now, or a year back, is that right? Did I say that right? Anyways, when you look back a year ago, are you closer to God than you were then? Are you, as you've been a part of this Hope Hill community, have you become more of a follower of Christ? Have you taken steps that bring you closer to God and closer to what He wants you to be? That's the question. And if you all were to sit here and say, you know what, I've done a lot. I've helped the community a lot since I've been here. We've gotten to know our neighbors better. They've been to our community group. You could say all these things, but if you couldn't answer the question, yeah, I'm closer to God, then something's wrong. How many of you ever been a member of a gym somewhere? Okay, about half of you. I never have, and it's beginning to show. And I've started having to wear a belt because I can't always button the top button. I know that's getting a little too much, right? I'll just stop there. So when you go to a gym, usually they try to pair you with a trainer, right? Is that what they're called? And they kind of assess where you are. They find out like your body fat. They figure out what you're used to doing, and they talk to you about your goals. You know, where do you want to get? Why are you here? What weight limit are you trying to develop strength or endurance? What is it you're trying to do? And they assess you at the beginning so that they can help you get to where you're trying to go. And how many of you have ever been through an assessment like that? Yeah? Okay. I should, but I just know I'll fail, so forget it. So anyway, and that trainer will, in a sense, give you tips. Okay, if you want to get here, you got to do this. And if you want to increase in this area, you got to do this. And if you want to lose weight in this area, you need to exercise and change your diet here. And they give you kind of a plan for how to get where you're going. We talked about this on Thursday. And the other cool example that I can't remember who brought up was that, you know those directories at a mall that kind of say, show you where everything's at? What's the most important thing to find on there first? Exactly. You are here. Because if you don't know where you are, it doesn't matter where anything else is. You don't know how to get there, right? And some of you are like, oh, I could figure it out no matter what. And but, you know, you are here. You have to discover where you are. And we as a church, if we're not helping you discover where you are, then we are failing. And so my focus and my desire is that we as Hope Hill Church will help each and every one of you answer that question for yourself. Where am I with God? Where am I in this journey of life? And ultimately, is God even in my life? And so that's what we're called to do. Matthew chapter 28 says this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Austin's also going to have the scriptures up on the screen. Matthew 28. Verses, and if you have notes, you might want to write at least the passages down. You can go back and look at these later. Matthew 28. I'm just going to read verses 16 and following. Now the 11 disciples, and some of you are like, wait, I thought there was 12. At this point, one is no longer around. Jesus has died, and Judas, who betrayed Jesus, has taken his own life. And so there are 11 left. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. He had basically said, I'm going to meet you there. Go and wait for me, and I'll be there soon. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came, and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And here's his instructions. Go therefore, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so some of the very last words to Jesus, I mean to the disciples, Jesus' closest friends, were, this is what I've spent the last 3 years with you. I've spent time. We've done a lot together. I've taught you. And now I want you to go out and to make disciples. And this wasn't just Jesus' instruction to these 11, but this was Jesus' instructions to any of us that would want to follow Jesus. It is not optional for you to decide whether or not, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, to make a disciple or not. Does that make sense? It's not optional for us to go out and plant an apple tree and expect it to bear fruit. If it doesn't bear fruit and reproduce, is it at all doing what it's set out to do? No. And so we, in the same way, Jesus has called us, first of all, as a church, but most of all, and more importantly, who is the church? It's you. It's me. It's each of us as individuals. God has called each of us to go out and make disciples. So how many disciples have you made this past year? How many disciples have we as a church made this past year? Those are rhetorical questions, of course, but we really need to think about that. we really need to think about, as I look at my own life and as I am pursuing or desiring, and my hope is that you are pursuing and desiring to follow after Christ, that you will take his commands, not his suggestions, his commands seriously, and look at your own life. Am I doing what God has called me to do? And in order for me to make a disciple, I've got to, in a sense, kind of be willing to be a disciple myself. And so, we have the spiritual disciplines. I want you to look at another passage of Scripture with me. For those of you that are on Facebook, you may have seen a video I posted a couple days ago. As I got back from my meeting in Raleigh and was just thinking about this and spending time praying for today, I just got excited and I couldn't wait. So I posted a video and some of you saw it. But what I read in that video was Acts chapter 2. If you turn there with me, Acts chapter 2. The question is, okay, so the disciples were told, this is what I want you to do. I'm about ready to leave. Jesus lived here for 33 years. He accomplished all that he came to do, which was basically to raise up some followers, to show them his love for them, to teach them how much he loved them, to live a perfect life and to die for them and for us by giving up his own life and shedding his blood to forgive us of our sins. And when all of that was done, he said, okay, so now I've done my part and I'm leaving you here to do your part. And that is to start the church and to start spreading the word. Jesus did not come to start a religion. He came to show and to start relationships with us, the people that he made. And so Jesus said, stay here and go out and share the love, share the news with everyone. Start right where you are in Jerusalem. Then go to Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And today we are a result of the obedience of the disciples. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and see how it began. Acts chapter 2, I'm going to actually start us in, what verse did I tell you, Austin, to start? 38. Okay, here we go, verse 38. Peter, one of the disciples, often known for putting his foot in his mouth, kind of steps up into a position of leadership at this time, and he's talking to a group of them, and he said, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What happened on this particular day is Jesus was with his disciples for one of the last times in his present with him. And he said, okay, guys, it's time. It's time for me to go to heaven to prepare a place for you. And they were like, well, can we come? Can we come? He was like, you'll come soon, but you know, it's been 2,000 years, and so he's still preparing heaven for us. But he said, wait, there's work to be done, because I'm not just going for the 11 of you. There are people who I don't know yet and who do not yet know me, and I'm leaving you here to share the word that I have shared with you. And he said, but wait. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, the Holy Spirit, the helper, as I leave, God is going to send the Holy Spirit, the gift, to come and to give you power. And he's going to enable you to be my witnesses, to go out and share the truth. And the Holy Spirit will come and give you power, and then you will be my witnesses. So the disciples go, and they go into this room where they had probably gathered times before in this very popular city of Pentecost and Jerusalem. And the Pentecost celebration was happening, and people from all ages were coming, from all nations, all areas were coming, and they were gathered together and in the city. And 120 disciples, followers of Jesus, were gathered together in this upper room. And they were praying, God, use us, prepare us. And they were also waiting for this promise. They didn't know what to expect, but Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came in power. And I can't imagine what the day must have been like. It's explained like there was a rushing wind, and there was something like tongues of fire, and it fell on them and consumed them. And they became empowered with the power of God to share his word. And then they go out, and it was so weird that many people were looking at them and say, wow, those guys are like drunk or something. Read it if you don't believe me. Acts chapter 1, chapter 2. And they went out in the streets, and they were just like talking like crazy. They were on fire. And Peter says, Jesus has come. And the sad thing is that many of you thought he was just some rebel, some leader that was leading us away, but the truth was that he was the Son of God. And if you believe in him and repent, you can be baptized and you can come to know Jesus the way we have. And those are the last words that we just read. And he goes on and he continues with them. Let's see where I pick up where I left off. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. For this promise is for you and for your children and for others who are far off, everyone whom the Lord will call to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to encourage them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word were baptized, and they were added to them that day 3,000 souls. Verse 42. And then those who were added to them devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And then there were those who were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking of bread in their homes. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And here's the key of all of it. And who? The Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Why is Hope Hill here? A lot of you have come, and some of you have even come to Hope Hill because of the way that we put what we believe into action. How many of you have joined us as we've passed out book bags to students in need? How many of you have been to our free sales where we fill gyms, a gym as big as this, with coats, clothing, household items, and bless hundreds of families who are in need? How many of you have been a part of those? How many of you have been a part of the times where we've had families come? Just the last month, we had 45 families that aren't even a part of our church community come here and receive hundreds of Christmas presents and Christmas meals. How many of you were a part of that? A lot of you have been a part of these things. And some of you are even here now because you've been blessed by some of those actions. But is that what Hope Hill exists for? No. Because the truth is that there are so many organizations out there caring for the needy and helping the poor. That is not what Hope Hill Church is about. Hope Hill Church is about loving and following Jesus Christ. And if we do that, we will do these things. Does that make sense? If all we did was just help the needy but didn't even know who Jesus was, we'd be missing the point. Because it is all about a God who loves us, who sent his Son to save us, not just from poverty, but from an even deeper sickness, the sickness of sin that separates us from the love of God. That's why we're here as Hope Hill Church. We're here to make a difference for eternity, not just for a couple weeks. We don't want to just put food on someone's table that in a meal or two it will be gone. We want to help them to have their eternal hunger met. That's why we're here. And my hope is that as you are here as a part of Hope Hill Church, you will help us know how we can help you. Not just meet your physical needs, but your spiritual needs as well. Acts chapter 2, we see that they gathered together often. Some of the things pointed out in that passage was one of the first things they gathered for was what? To study the what? Apostles' teaching. Exactly. They came together often so they could get into the teachings of Jesus, so they could look into the Old Testament scriptures that had been passed on from generation to generation, so they could discover who this God really was that could bring not just physical needs have them met, but spiritual needs. And they met together regularly. And many of you are doing that. Many of you, you come together on Sunday mornings. But if you're here and the only time you're hearing God's word is just on Sunday mornings, that would be, you could almost equate that to just eating a meal on Sunday mornings and think you don't have to eat the rest of the week. That would be crazy. And so some of you have taken the next step and you've gotten plugged into like a community group. And we have about 8 community groups that meet during the week. Every night except for Mondays, I think, right now. We have a Tuesday night group, a couple that meet Wednesday, a couple that meet Thursday, one that meets Friday. And do we have a Saturday group? I don't think we have a Saturday group. But anyway, you've gotten plugged into a smaller group to where you can spend time digging a little deeper and challenging each other in an environment where you can share, you know, I'm not sure what I believe about that. And we've created a safe place where you can bring your doubts in a healthy way, ask questions and say, you know, I've heard this about Christianity and religion. I don't understand it. Help me to go. And we've created places where you can do that. And we understand that not all of you have the ability or the time to go to those groups. And so we want to help you, regardless of if you can go to a community group or not, we want to help you grow in your own faith. I used to go to Taekwondo with Anna and Stella here. They're a couple rows back. And this class that Stella would lead would kill me because there was this one time, this one particular thing we would do in these classes where we had to turn and we had to put our foot back and we had to go down and down and down. And after about 20 times, my legs are killing me. And then we'd have to switch. And I would just fall over. And it was just painful. And those classes were there and the exercises were there to help us to get better at doing the things that are necessary in life, like being able to kick people. It's really important to know how to do that stuff in life. And so I'd go to these classes. And what I found out is that if I only went to the class once a week and then waited to the next class, I didn't improve. And in fact, it hurt more if I only did it once a week. But I got challenged to go home and to stretch every day. And I was like, yeah, I'll just stretch when I get to class. And I got challenged to go home and to do these things on a regular basis. And I found that when I went outside of the larger group and took the things I was learning there and put them into practice on a regular daily basis, I saw growth happen in my own life. And I got better at kicking people and punching people and things like that. But the truth is that spiritually, if the only time we're ever being challenged is and we're in a group environment like this, then you gotta go to the next step. And that's finding ways of making this stuff real in your everyday life. And that's why it was important to the teaching last week when Andrew challenged us to get into the Word, to find a way. How many of you have a smartphone? How many of you have downloaded YouVersion? Okay, you need to do this. YouVersion. It helps you have the Bible with you every single day. And today, this morning, one of my notifications is, don't forget to read your plan today. And it comes to me every day. And so God says, if you want to get to know me, you've got to get to know me. You've got to get into his Word. And so my challenge to you is whether it's through a smartphone or a devotional, we have devotionals back there that are free that you can take that will help you get into God's Word. And I'm not saying that you have to spend an hour or two studying God's Word every day. Sometimes just a few minutes during a commute. I know that when I first got started as a teenager and reading God's Word, I would spend about 5-7 minutes a day. I would read a little story, a verse from the Bible and how the challenge and a thoughtful question of the day, and it developed, and I got an appetite for being in God's Word more. And then it went to like reading more at night. And I like to feel a sense of accomplishment. So I took the Bible and I was like, well, I want to read a whole book tonight. And you know, if you can read, if you want to accomplish reading a whole book, you can go to like 3 John or the book of Jude. You can read a whole book in one sitting, okay? And I was like, wow, I read a whole book of the Bible tonight. It's like 14 verses total. No chapters. It's like the shortest book in the Bible. But that's how I started. I like, okay, where's the shortest books in the Bible? And it eventually grew to where I was reading, you know, the Gospels, you know, the book of John, 21 chapters. And the important thing is that you take what we're sharing with you and what we're about and you make it real in your own life. Are you reading God's Word? Are you letting God's Word get into you? And some of you might say, well, I just don't understand. Well, take Tony's class. Is Tony here? He might be. There he is. Tony will help you understand how to read God's Word. But the truth is, you don't have to understand necessarily everything. How many of you eat, like, almost daily? Raise your hand. How many of you eat? Now, how many of you can explain to me how your body breaks that down and converts it all into energy? So that, how many, anybody here? Okay, like three of you, okay? But does that keep you from eating? No, whether we understand it or not, we know it's important and we do it, and the body does what it needs to do kind of on its own. I mean, some of you would probably debate with me all day about, anyway, well, we won't go there. So here's the point I'm trying to make. You don't have to understand all the little details of God's word, but God understands you, and as you just simply eat it and consume it, it will change you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit will take over and make it work. Yet, am I saying you shouldn't strive to understand God's word? No, I'm not saying that. But just get started, and God's Holy Spirit will make the word come to life in you, and it'll bring transformation. And then what we talked about a couple weeks ago was prayer. Is us bringing our requests to God and saying, God, I don't understand what I just read. That doesn't make sense at all. In fact, if I know you, that's not you. And sometimes the Bible can be confusing. And so what I challenge people to do is to get a journal or something and say, you know, I don't understand this verse, and find a time to catch up with someone who you respect, who you think you can talk about, your small group leader, or me. You know, I just read this verse in the Bible. What is that talking about, you know? And let's dialogue. Let's stretch each other. Let's challenge each other like Stella would do to me. 10 more, okay? And that's what I want to be here for you, is to help you stretch yourself and not just get comfortable in your Christianity, because God doesn't want comfortable Christians. In fact, because of time, I'm going to kind of jump a couple verses. You don't know that. I didn't even need to say that. That was for Austin's benefit. So here's what I want to kind of bring us to a close with. Why do we do this? Well, some of this we just need to know. Jesus loves you. He really does. God is not some distant, removed God that just made this world and set us in motion and has walked away. God loves you so much that he sent his own son to die for me and to die for you. And that should be one of the most, that's one of the biggest motivations for me to want to put myself into spiritual disciplines. The second thing is Jesus said in John 14:15, do you have that one? If you love me, you will obey what I command. And so Jesus says, spend time with me. And sure, that doesn't sound like a very, you know, command. We don't like that word. You're commanding me to like you? Jesus desires to love us. He desires to have a deep relationship with us. And the truth is if we are going to consider ourselves Christians, followers of God in love with Jesus, we will obey what he asks us to do. There will be, if we are an apple tree, I don't know why I keep going to that, we will have apples in our life. And if you are a Christian, the fruits of the Spirit should be seen in you. It goes on in James 4:7. Actually, I'm going to skip that one. James 4:7-10 is a great passage. Write it down and read it on your own later. Basically, it summarized this. It says you really can't be a Christian and expect God to do good things in your life if you continue to live life the way you want to. Submit to God, then you'll be able to resist the devil and the things that you can't do. And as you submit yourself, God will exalt you higher than you could ever imagine. God will work in your life as you submit yourself to him. There's no promise in the Bible that it's going to be easy. You know, there are a lot of teachers out there that kill me because they teach a prosperity gospel that somehow if you simply obey God, all your debt will be miraculously paid off. If you obey God, you won't have health problems. If you have enough faith, you won't struggle in life. Well, try telling that to the rest of the world who die because of their belief in God, who are persecuted because they have sometimes more faith than any of us in this room could ever have. You know, Jesus never promises that life will be easy and that following him will be easy. In fact, he says, as I suffered, you will suffer. And look at the way he suffered. They killed him. They crucified. Well, he let them crucify him. But he was persecuted in the same way. Living for Jesus is not always popular. Look at Tim Tebow. He has probably 10 times as many critics as he does fans. And I'm sad that he lost last night. But anyway, moving on. Yes, really. Okay, I grew up in Denver, so I have the right to do that. So anyway, there's no promise that it's going to be easy. Luke 9:23, Jesus actually said, if you follow me, and this was, he hadn't even died on the cross yet. The cross back then wasn't a Christian symbol. The cross was like our modern day electric chair. The cross was a time and a place where people were disciplined by the Roman government for crimes. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to pick up your cross. He was telling them flat out, it's not going to be easy. You may have your life taken from you if you want to follow me. And he says, you want to follow me, pick up your cross daily. And we need to look at our lives. No, I'm not signing up for that. Why are you telling us this? You're supposed to be like convincing us that Christianity is all about, you know, and bonus, Ginsu knives come with it. You know, I'm supposed to be selling you on something good, you know. The truth is that the goodness of God should be enough. And his love for us should be enough. If we're into God for trinkets and gadgets and gizmos and free mugs, there are much better places to be than what we have to offer you. But if you're into Christianity for God's love and for peace and joy and strength through hard times and just coming to know him and have the most amazing, abundant life ever, then you're in the right place. You just need to submit to him. And to, if you want to see yourself grow, you've got to take on these spiritual disciplines. Will you guys help us close? The worship team's going to get in place. And this morning, my challenge to you is to look at your own life. Each week at Hope Hill, we try to create a time for you to take what has been shared and to think about it. And to let God kind of, for you to say, okay, God, what did I hear today? What do I need to do about it? Help me. And what we do at the end of our services is the worship team comes up and they lead us in singing some songs. And we have a time where we invite you just to kind of to let God speak to you. Not just sing along. I mean, if you are at a place where right now where you're ready to sing and just you're excited about, yeah, God, I want to be that disciple. I want to follow you and I just praise you. Then stand up and praise God with our band. But if you're at a place and you're like, I'm not sure where I'm at. Yeah, I love God, but you know, I'm not sure that I'm totally sold out. I'm not sure I'm ready to sign up for some spiritual exercise plan. Then let God's Holy Spirit speak to you right now. And just sit there and with your heart quiet before him as others around you worship. Just say, God, I want to know you. I want to go deeper with you. Show me what it is that you want me to do in these next steps. And he will speak to you. He will lead you. We also each, not every week, but often, almost every week, we take this time to remember what Christ did for us. You know, he came down and lowered himself, and he decided the only way he could really show his love and offer the forgiveness that needed to be forgiven was for his body to be broken and his blood to be shed for us. And so each week, we invite those of you who are believers and followers of Christ to remember that by taking a piece of bread, which represents his body broken for us, and dipping it in this cup of juice, which represents the blood of Jesus that was shed for us. And as you eat it, remember what he gave up for you. And so during this time of worship, we invite you to partake in communion. We invite you to worship before God. But more importantly, we invite you to listen to God and to let God's Holy Spirit speak to you about where you are. Because God wants you to be his follower. God wants you to be his disciple. And God wants you discipling others. So I invite you to pray about these things, to ask God to lead you to the next step. We'll have prayer teams on the side. If you want to just come up and say, you know, I don't know the right step, but I ask that you pray for me. Or I know the right step. And the first step I need to take is I need to give my heart to Christ and say, okay, God, take me and use me. And if you want to make one of those decisions, come up to our prayer team, come up to me, and we'll pray with you. Let God speak to you as we worship him in these next few moments. Come forward as you feel led. Let's pray and worship.